How appropriate in some ways that we're celebrating communion in conjunction with a meal. Because the reality is the first communion was celebrated with a meal. Now, just kind of by way of interaction a little bit with the audience, what meal was Jesus celebrating with the disciples as they had this, we call it Last Supper or communion? Passover. So by way of just kind of taking us along in a story and reintroducing ourselves back to what was happening, I want us to think back on that moment for just a moment. What happened in Passover? What would that have, what image or what event would have come to mind for a person who is a Jewish person celebrating that holiday? There may have been an event. What was it?
Leaving Egypt.
Leaving Egypt. An Exodus. Good. So I went. You to imagine with me for just a moment as we think back of what happened. Here we're thinking back to a time when Israel was locked in captivity. They had been basically slaves in Israel or in Egypt for a long time. And they'd been crying out for God, going asking for relief and for help. And then lo and behold, God speaks to a man named Moses. And he comes in reluctantly. And God says, I'm about to do something that is miraculous. Now imagine these slaves that were in Egypt, imagine them all of a sudden going, you know what, Pharaoh, this really stinks. I really don't like being here in Egypt. I think I'm done. How likely would it be for them to be able to just go, I'm done, I'm out, walking away? Not going to happen. There's maybe one way that they would have been leaving, and that's in a box. Because he was Lord over this people. He had control of this group. And so something miraculous happened that God intervened in a miraculous way. If you read back in Exodus, you'll read of the plagues that hit Egypt. Those are literal things that happened. Nations afterwards would recount how this God dramatically rescued the people of Israel with a mighty hand and brought them out of slavery into the land that he was going to give them. And so we think back on what God did at that moment. Then, and before they left, they had this moment where God said, I'm going to institute a meal that is going to help you remember who I am and what I'm about to do. And I want you to celebrate it when you actually get to this land. And it was Passover feast. Said, in a moment, a death angel is going to come and I am going to strike down the firstborn of Egypt. And by sacrificing a blemish without blemish, a lamb without blemish, and putting its blood on the doorposts, I'll pass over your home and spare you. And so out of obedience, they did so. And sure enough, God spared the people of Israel. And then brought them out of Egypt dramatically. And so each time they would have sat to remember this time, there would have been a meal and they would have had bitter roots, remembering bitterness of things that they experienced. And then there would have been a certain time in there where they would have this cup of blessing. And that most likely is where we actually enter into where Jesus is breaking bread and he's about to pour a cup. And it's this third drink that they would take, this cup of blessing, and recount and give thanks, a Eucharist, give thanks in Greek. And so we think back on this moment as the disciples are there, they're remembering that God dramatically rescued a people from slavery. And it wasn't something that they could do on their own. They needed God to do this on their behalf. And they're remembering this with Jesus. And now fast forward to this moment, we're going to read about what happens during this meal in Mark 14. It says that as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them. And he said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, that's that word, Eucharist, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Jesus was establishing something new, and he says that this is my blood of the covenant, this new covenant that he was initiating. And this new covenant, it was promised back in Jeremiah 31 that this covenant would come with forgiveness of sins. Something that God was again going to do something that was spectacular. He was going to rescue people in a dramatic way. And for a moment, I want us to think as we get ready to go in and partake of communion together. So often, we're going to take this and we're going to do this in remembrance of Jesus. We're going to remember the fact that he died. And many times, what's easy to do with the death is I think about how awful it would have been to die a death on a cross. How miserable that would have been. But this morning, I want to do something different with us as we reflect and think about what was done. It's good to think about the pain, the agony of that. That's not a bad thing. But what the writers of the New Testament more often do is they try to remind us and have us bring back to memory the meaning behind the death, the meaning behind why Jesus needed to come and do this. So it's important that we think through that as we partake of the cup and the drink together. So by way of observation, make a few quick observations here to help us as we go into communion together. In 1 Peter 3, 18 through 19, says, "For Christ," referring to Jesus, "also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit." One of the things that we remember with communion and the necessity of his death is this. One word that comes to mind is substitution. We deserved death. The illustration that I used of the people of Israel, imagine the people of Israel going, "You know what? I really don't want to be in captivity anymore," and trying to walk away and leave. They couldn't do it. And the reality for each and every one of us, what we're going to be celebrating is that there is now forgiveness of sins. That instead of us dying, Jesus died on our behalf. So what we know, and we go back even to the story in Genesis 3, we know that Adam and Eve, that they sinned, they partook of a fruit. And God had something that he told them. See if any of you kids remember, the moment that you eat of the fruit, what would happen, kids? Any of you remember? Any of you kids remember what would happen? What's that? Death. Good.
Death to the whole entire
world. Good. There'd be a death. Exactly. And even our kids got this. It's great. There'd be death that came in. Now, obviously, Adam and Eve didn't drop dead at that moment, but there was death. There was a separation from God that came from that. And we can even read through in the New Testament that our sins, we were dead in our trespasses and sins apart from Christ. Now, imagine me taking something that was dead, like a fish, a goldfish, maybe you had that happen over the holidays, and bringing it up here and go, "Okay, fish, I have 12 steps for you that will make you alive again." Would it matter how many steps I give this fish to bring it back to life? No. Or if I took a person and go, "Man, just think better thoughts, think more positively," it wouldn't matter. Doesn't matter. When you're dead, you're dead. And something that was miraculous that Jesus did is that he came and as a substitute died in our place, the death that we deserved. I'll read it again, 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." The reality of what Jesus did is that he brought people, he brought forgiveness for people. He now made a way to himself to bring people to himself. We even think back on the Israelites as they were out and starting to wander off into the desert. It wasn't the fact that God was just rescuing them and freeing them from their sin and slavery. He was actually rescuing and bringing them to himself to actually enjoy a relationship with him. That's that other aspect and beautiful thing in communion that we're celebrating, that I have forgiveness of sins. That's great. But now I also have this ability to enjoy this relationship with God because of what Jesus did for me. I'm alive because of him. And it's miraculous. It's a work that only God could do to bring dead to life. And that's why we needed Jesus to die on the cross for us. We also think of that aspect that I've kind of been alluding to. Redemption is possible because of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:7, it says this. In him, referring to Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. That we have this forgiveness that's available. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you take the cup and you remember this blood that was shed, what that offers us is forgiveness of sins. That we've been redeemed. That idea of redeemed is bought from a slave market. Just like God dramatically rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt, we've been rescued from slavery to sin, self, the evil one, and brought to God himself because of the blood of Jesus. Something that only he alone can accomplish. So by way of reflection, let's remember together again Mark 14. Remember this evening, and we'll read it again together. Go ahead and stand with me. As they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." If I could have the men come forward, go ahead and grab a seat. We're going to pass out the bread. Go ahead and start passing it out. I want us to reflect as we take this time. The elements are going to be passed out to each of us. Take time, and I'll have Ty cue some music for us in just a moment, and reflect on what was made possible because of Jesus' sacrifice. Redemption was made possible because of the cross. Substitution, that he died in our place, was available because of Jesus. There's deliverance from sin. There's salvation because of Jesus. That's what we're celebrating right now, is what Jesus made possible through his death in our place. Well, his body was offered for us. It's by his body, him offering himself as a pleasing sacrifice to God. The other aspect that we know is that he's our propitiation, that he satisfied the wrath of God. I no longer have to worry about the wrath of God because of Jesus, that he's covered me. Take and eat, because his body that was given on our behalf. Take and eat in remembrance of Jesus. And the last aspect that they brought was the cup, remembering that his blood was shed on our behalf. I want us to actually stand together for just a moment. One of the things that I think is so difficult for me, and I think for others, is this. I've met with people even all throughout this year, and many times the thing that people are struggling with is, what do I do with guilt? Oh my goodness, I messed up. I've blown it. And this, I've blown it. I can't believe it. And it's so easy to whip ourselves and try to beat ourselves into submission. But one of the things that we celebrate is that because of his blood, we have forgiveness of sin. That takes care of the penalty of sin and the guilt of sin. I no longer have to carry that anymore. That's worth something to celebrate. Amen? We now have forgiveness because of Jesus offering his life. That is something to celebrate. Hold your cup high and cheers to Jesus giving his life. Cheers to Jesus. Because of his blood, we have forgiveness of sin. Take and drink in remembrance of him. Amen, huh? We just get a round of applause for Jesus and what he did. Worship team's going to come back up. Should we stay standing? Yeah, all right. Stay standing. We're going to keep singing of what Jesus has done. So good to celebrate communion and remember the fact that we have forgiveness because of Jesus. Not only do we have forgiveness, but we can enjoy this together. Take time at some point today and just say, man, we needed Jesus. Remind one another. That's the point of coming together in a setting like this and taking communion. We need Jesus. Amen.